thought for today. Paradise is a state of mind. Paradise is a state of mind. Paradise is a state of mind. I have a little feedback here. What does it mean to say paradise is a state of mind? No matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter what we think about, our thoughts are our world. Our thoughts are our experience. Our thoughts are who we are. And we can think anything we want. We can think happy thoughts, sad thoughts. We can think thoughts that make us feel uplifted, thoughts that make us feel sorrowful. It's all our choice. It's all from our mind. And if we want to think in paradise, if we want to think thoughts of paradise, of joy, of peace, of harmony, of right action, of truth, of light and love, we can think that. It's all a matter of our choice. Paradise exists for each one of us. Paradise for one young man is leaving his environment. Ellen was telling us about this young man in Switzerland who is not very happy in his home. He apparently is a different color from the rest of his friends at school, and they pick on him. And he has a very dynamic mother who is outstanding and remarkable in every way and probably expects the same out of him, and he is remarkable in his own unique way. And so he wants to escape that environment. He wants to find a new paradise. And it's possible he may very well find a new paradise as he goes away from the old environment. Although, if he takes the same fellow with him who he was in his old environment, there'll be no change. In fact, it might even be worse. Because he doesn't have his mother to lean on, he doesn't have the world that he's familiar with to be around there, and he doesn't have the fellows who picked on him, pick on him in the new environment. And he may well miss that. It's interesting how people miss certain things that are important to them. You say, I'm going to train your husband to be more gentle, to be more loving, to be less violent and less abrupt with you, to be more caring. And so the husband works on that. He becomes more gentle, more loving, and more caring. And the wife goes to the counselor and says, I don't like him that way. I like the old boy. He's the one that I married. He's the one that I'm familiar with. He's that bombastic fellow. But this gentle, milquetoast person that you created here, he's no fun. We don't have any good rip-down, knock-down discussions and things about life. I like that old way. Hey, you've taken my paradise away. And this is what we do. We can never live in another person's world or another person's life. We cannot say, this is what you should do because this is the right thing to do and this will make you a very happy person. Because who knows? That may make us a happy person, but will that make another person a happy person? Each of us have to walk our pathway as we understand it. Each of us must do the things that make us happy. And it does not have to do anything with another person. Our mothers or fathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, cousins, friends, relatives, whoever they may be, they're not important. If we're not happy, then whatever these other people expect of us and we're doing what they expect of us, that doesn't make us happy. It makes us feel very sad, in fact. Now, why does it make us feel sad? Because we're not being ourselves and having fun. Paradise is living in the now, doing what makes you happy, doing what fulfills you, doing what makes you feel like you're a worthwhile person. It has nothing to do with what anyone else thinks or feels. It has nothing to do with what anyone else wants us to do. It's only what we are. That's paradise. That's paradise. Now, I could say to each of you, hey, tomorrow we're going to go to Disneyland. And you say, oh, I had planned something different. I had planned on going with a friend. We were going to sit and have coffee together. And that's very important to me, to sit with that friend. Oh, I had other plans. Oh, goody, goody, we're going to Disneyland. We could have a variety of attitudes about a situation. Now, anybody in their right mind would love to go to Disneyland and spend the whole day there and come back dead tired and go on all the amusement rides and just have the time of your life. Just have a ball. But what do they say? Once you've done it, been there, done that, the next time, not quite that thrilling. And the next time, maybe less thrilling. It's not anything's wrong with Disneyland. It's not anything's wrong with you. It's just that you've been there, done that. And sometimes people like to repeat amusements. They like to repeat things again and again. Like people who go into drug experiences. They like to repeat these things again. Oh, that's paradise. Wow! You should try it. You know, you should go on these drug trips. Wow! And they go on the drug trips. And pretty soon, the thrill is gone. And then they have to try a stronger drug because the other drugs don't work anymore. And then they have to try stronger drugs yet. And then they have to do games like Russian roulette, where you spin the thing on the gun to spin the bullets around, and you don't know if a bullet's going to come up or not, and then you shoot toward your head. You know, these are games, and they say, wow, it's exciting. Yeah, sure. You see, when we haven't learned to listen within, when we haven't learned to find out what really turns us on, we're going to look for excitement in Disneyland or in Russian roulette or in drugs. We're going to look for excitement outside of ourselves. We're going to look for paradise in every way, shape, and form. We're going to think paradise is doing this or paradise is doing that. Jerome is coming to visit. And Jerome sees paradise as our swimming pool. A nice swimming pool that you can swim in. And the water goes fast or slow, and you can swim against it. Jerome has no slightest idea what it's like. He's never seen a swimming pool like that. He has no idea what it's going to be like. But he visualizes it as fun. He visualizes it as paradise. Oh, if we could have something like that in our backyard or in our basement or in the living room. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know? And so he has his paradise. And then he comes here, which he'll do, and he'll swim in the pool every day, and he'll have a good time. But then when he goes home, he'll say, yep, that's nice. Now, I got the paradise right up here, right in my mind, right in my heart. I got this paradise in me. Anytime I want, I can remember that I was swimming in that wonderful pool. I'm not going to have a pool like that because my daddy isn't that kind of a man. My daddy doesn't care about pools like that. My grandma isn't that kind of a grandma. She doesn't care about pools like that. She wouldn't even think of putting one in her living room, you know. And she just really doesn't care about a pool like that. But I do. I wouldn't mind having a pool like that and having my bed around it and having the kitchen on one side of it and the living room on the other. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But you see, paradise is different things for different people. And you have to figure out, what is your paradise? As I was listening to Stefan give his talk this morning, I was thinking, you know, he has a lot of old ideas and a lot of new ideas. And he's telling these ideas as he goes around, and he goes to these different groups, and he speaks before them and shares with them, shares on the side or shares in the front, whatever he does. And surely the people are amused and delighted and uplifted and inspired by the things he says, because he speaks well and he shares well. But what is Stephen? What is the inner self saying to him? What is his inner voice saying to him? Where is his paradise? That he has to find out in his heart. And his paradise may be in the strangest thing in the world. As he mentioned in his talk this morning, following the inspiration, a number of people he pointed out looked at someone else and they said, "That's going to be my wife. That's going to be my husband." He's going to look out once he has balanced himself and feeling good about himself. He's going to look out and he's going to say, "That's what I want to do. I want to go over to China and I want to take Bibles and pass them around in China." Yeah, I could see you doing that. "I want to go over to China and work with the young people there and give them new inspiration and new direction. I want to go and speak to the college-age kids in China. I want to go over there and share with them the realization that they're wonderful beings. And you know what they're going to tell me? We know that. We know that." He says he wants to go to Russia. He wants to go to America. He'd like to travel across America in a motorhome and stop at every one of the colleges and universities and speak to the people and tell them how wonderful they are. And, hey, that'd be fun. And the people will say, "Great, great, great. We like these positive thinking talks. That's great." And then, you know what they'll say to him? "Been there, done that." You see, this is what everybody in our life says to us. People come here to the monastery and they say, "What wonderful things you teach. That's exactly what I believe. I've been there, done that. This is where my thinking is." Yes. But you see, we as people who go out and teach and share these ideas, we don't hear them say, "Been there, done that." We hear our message. Our message is, "Now, listen and follow it. Yes, we've been there. Yes, we've done that. But have we listened to our own inner voice? Have we listened to our own inner experience and followed it? Where is your inner experience going to take you? Where is your paradise? Where are you going to find that wonderful, wonderful, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious place? Where are you going to find that? You can look around in China. You can look around in India. Oh my, how the gurus are in India. India should be a supercalifragilistic place because they have so many wonderful gurus who really are wonderful. They really are. But you know what those gurus do? They're stinkers. Those gurus say, "I am myself and I have fun. If you want to listen, fine. If you want to play my game, fine. I'm not here to teach you your game. I'm here to teach you my game." That's all any of us can do, is to share with others our game. But we have to be secure in our game. And do you know why more spiritually illumined beings don't come out of India than they do? Because India is creating a bunch of devotees. They're creating a bunch of worshippers, a bunch of followers. And in creating these followers, they're not creating people doing their own thing and being themselves. Oh, they tell them, "Be yourself." They tell you all these wonderful things. They suggest this to you, and they're wise. But people go there thinking they're going to work miracles, that these gurus are going to change their life, just instantly take away all their problems, all their confusion, all their desire to listen within and tune on that station. They'll say, "Okay, come to Sai Baba now. Sai Baba is on 95.3. And if you can tune into 95.3, you got it. Now, can you tune into 95.3? 95.3 is Sai Baba station. That's an illustration, of course. But my station is 82.1, you know? And your station is maybe 86.3, and what have you. Now, you're going to listen to my station. You're going to say, yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I like that stuff. And then you're going to try to follow my station. You're going to tune into my station, and you're going to be another me. You're not going to be a you. You're not going to be in your paradise. You're going to be me. You're going to be Sai Baba. You're going to be whoever is the sharer, whoever is the teacher. And you don't want that. You don't want that, but that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing when you listen in the outer. Listen in the inner. Listen to your inner voice that tells you how wonderful you are and how grand you are. You don't need anything else in this world for paradise except yourself. Listen to that inner voice and really listen to the inner voice. Do not be a clone of Sai Baba or Herb Bierley or whoever. Be your own person. Be your own wonderful being. We don't need anybody here on campus to do anything. Campus is merely a training ground of being yourself and being self-disciplined and walking the path. Now, some of you may find working on campus here as a lifetime activity. Some of you may find it as a temporary activity. Either way, it's perfectly fine. But find yourself. Find who you are. Find that paradise that you've been looking for. Find that paradise that you've been wishing would open up in your heart. And to do that, you discipline yourself to listen. To listen. To listen to your inner self. And don't worry if your inner self sounds like you. It will. Don't worry if your inner self says, let's see, what shall we have for dinner? That's perfectly okay. Go for it. Your inner self says, oh, I think I have a cigarette. Go for it. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. The only thing wrong with anything is if we have a habit that we don't like. And then we just put another habit in motion. There's nothing wrong with the habit of taking drugs. There's nothing wrong with the habit of belittling yourself or berating yourself or uplifting yourself. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. It's just a matter of what is it that you want. And if you have a problem here, if you have a problem, I've got an answer for you. I've got an answer for you. You talk to Sylvia. Sylvia will point out to you that everything is only an what?
Is.
An is. See, I told you. See, you just asked Sylvia. Everything is only an is. There is no judgment to anything. And if it makes you happy, then go for it. If it doesn't make you happy, leave it alone. Everything is an is. Some things are not dirty and clean. Some things are not high and low. Some things are not good and bad. Each is an is. Now, if there are two countries fighting each other, and this country says, God, guide us, and this country says, God, guide us, well, who's God going to guide? Both of them. War is like soccer. In fact, war is soccer. Two teams are playing against each other. Each one is trying to do their very best to knock the other out, to win, to do all the things that have to be done. And sometimes the team will cheat. Sometimes they'll kick somebody in the groin. Sometimes they'll nudge somebody with their arms that they're not supposed to do. That's not in the rules of the game. It's not in the rules of the war game. Using gas or anthrax or other things that they like to use. You know, that's not but the game is constantly changing, you know. And that's the wonderful thing about a game of life. It's never the same. It's constantly changing. So, if you're going to play a game and I have dear friends who enjoy heraldry, who enjoy ancient arts, and they like to dress up like the ancient knights and go out in battle. And it's a game that they're playing. And they have to play that game by the rules that they understand ancient heraldry, ancient knighthood had. And when they don't do that, then they stand, no, 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 naughty, naughty. You're not playing according to the game. Of course, they don't kill anybody. Not in their game. But in the other games that countries play, they kill people. And that's okay, too. Silly. People are so concerned about the Twin Towers falling down. And, hey, in every country, more people die of poverty, of disease, of unhappiness, than ever will be killed in the Twin Towers. It just happened to be a dramatic event. Life has many dramatic events for us, and are we ready to enjoy those dramatic events? We're creating them. Every dramatic event is our own paradise. Now, what paradise is ready for you? What paradise are you going to follow? You don't know. You don't know. You're going to go out and try your wings here and there. We went to Europe, and I was giving seminars there, and my partner abandoned me and ran off to Russia, out to Ukraine. And when she went to the Ukraine, she spoke for herself. And the people fell in love with her. The people says, come back, come back. And she says, oh, but you should hear Dr. Barley. He's even greater than I am. Well, that's okay, but you come back. We know you. We haven't seen him. We want you to come back. Well, it could be a very simple thing for her to get a big head and think that she is super wonderful and that she is super marvelous and that she can walk alone, and she should. And you know what happens when she does that? Then she begins to discipline herself to have a planned program to start going from here to there. If she's going to teach, if any of you are going to share, you don't just go out and say pleasant things. You have to have a planned program in your mind of any talk, what you're going to do with the person. You're going to take them from A to Z in that talk. I'm taking you to paradise as a state of mind. And so when Ellen goes up to see her friends in Ukraine, up in Kiev, and she speaks to them, she says to herself, now, they have not had the foundation. They have not had the art and science of wholeness. They have not had these. Now, I am going to just gently give them a little bit of background and then move them into positive thinking. As if I just move them into positive thinking, then they'll say, oh, yes, we've had positive thinking courses by these success organizations, and they're quite good, and they are. But what does the positive thinking of success organizations miss? What does the program where you're taught meditation miss? What they miss is the consequence to you. What they miss is the belief in yourself. What they miss is the recognition that it is not just a surface mental thing. It is a deep spiritual thing. Why can Zig Ziglar speak as dominantly and dynamically and powerfully as he does? Because he has a spirit behind him. He has a belief structure. And that belief structure is that he is good. And that everyone in his world is good. He's fantastic. And everyone in his world is fantastic. He believes in himself. And that belief in himself didn't come just from some words. It came from an inner knowingness that he is God. He may not say, I'm God. But you say, Zig, who are you? He says, I'm number one. Well, what else is God but number one? You see, without a belief structure, without a confidence in ourselves, without knowing who we are, we can rise to the top and we'll be empty. Or you can go anywhere you want. You put the law of cause and effect into motion on this relative plane of life, and you'll have anything you want. But you can be like Scrooge. You can be empty. You can see Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future. And you can see yourself empty because you haven't believed in yourself. You don't enjoy being with yourself, saying, "I like being with me." You see, this is where marriages get into trouble. Marriages get into trouble because they forget that you have to like yourself. When you like, if two people really liked each other, they wouldn't need each other, but they could share together and they could have a good time together. They could enjoy life beautifully together. And if they got married, they had the most wonderful marriage that ever existed, because first, they liked themselves. First, they were independently confident in themselves. First, they knew who they were. They believed in themselves. And then anything they did would be marvelous. This is paradise. Paradise is believing in yourself. Paradise is having confidence in yourself. You don't need anybody else. You don't need Herb. You don't need Sai Baba. You don't need anybody. You don't need a Jesus. You don't need any teacher. Because all these teachers and people are like that are just catalysts. They just say, "Come on," they pat you on the butt and say, "Move it, move it. Come on, you're good guys. Move it. You're okay." They don't want anything from you. They just say, "Be yourself and have fun." But you see, when you lose your sight of paradise, the first thing you want to do is to kill the teacher. And the reason you want to kill the teacher, like kill the Buddha if you see him on the path, is because he reminds you of so many things you have yet to do. So many things you have yet to fulfill in your life. And, hey, that's not a bad thing. Be reminded of all these wonderful things you want to do. Be reminded that your paradise is a continuing, ongoing thing. It's not sitting in the rocking chair and passing away the last years of your life. It's being dynamic and being forceful and being out there and being yourself. The day that you move from this transition to another's, you should be as busy as a beaver, having fun. Swimming, running, jumping, playing, writing, painting, thinking, talking. Vital, dynamic, upstairs. Dynamic, downstairs. Just a glorious being, much like our Dodi. Glorious being. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? You can be whoever you want to be. See, at 84, Dodi has the privilege of being very close to us if she wishes. But she chooses to be close to her blood family because they want her to be close to them, because they need her. She is a dynamic, forceful woman. And they want that dynamic, forceful woman in their life. They want that inspiration in her life. They're not interested in having her involve herself into a more dynamic woman, which she can't even be. But they want her close. If you had a chance to be close to Jesus, would you? If you knew somebody was Jesus and you believed in Jesus, you thought he was a great teacher and a great being and a miracle worker, would you want to be close to him? You probably would. And then again, maybe not. Maybe you want to do it yourself. Maybe you want to be yourself. And whatever it is, be yourself. Love yourself. Be thrilled with yourself. Delight in yourself. because you're fantastic, every one of you. And you don't need me, and I don't need you, but we enjoy each other, and we walk the path together, having a great time. No possession, paradise, being ourself, and having fun. I love you.